Hello, it's Friday, July 14th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio. It's a hot, sizzling day here in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania. In the rest of the world, I hope everybody realizes that we're one spike event away from full-blown World War III. The Middle East is in major turmoil. We're going to talk about it in depth on Monday, because there's going to be a lot to cover. We're going to analyze the situation over the weekend, and that's what we're going to discuss then. Today, though, we have kind of a follow-up appearance. Last Wednesday, we had Mr. Christian Pinto on the show to talk about what we think right now is the best DVD of 2006. It's called Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings.
And you can't just watch it one time, so I can't wait to get back into it again and watch it over and over again.
And we thought so much of it, we're now carrying it on Wing TV. It's also subtitled The New Atlantis, which some questions we're going to go in. So today, we're going to have Mr. David Bay on, who's also, I believe, the co-producer, co-director. I'll let him straighten out what he did in this, but we'd like to welcome Mr. David Bay to Wing TV. How you doing, David?
I'm doing very fine. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, our pleasure.
You're welcome. Now, clarify first, what was your role in this DVD? And let everybody know the particulars, how they can find it, the website, and so forth.
All right. I produced, you know, the research, most of the research for Volume 1, which is the New Atlantis, we're discussing that today, also Volumes 2, 3, and 4, the vast majority of the research is mine. It's taken me 12 years to research it.
I believe that.
And then through my business, which is Cutting Edge, it's cuttingedge.org, I provided the funding for the program, for the production and shooting of the film.
Well, I hear that the reception of this is phenomenal, and also that it's either won or been nominated for quite a number of awards too, hasn't it?
Yes, we won the New York Independent Film Festival Award, their Screencraft Award for the best feature documentary, major award. We've also won a Telly Award, T-E-L-L-Y. A Telly Award, which is given for outstanding, video production.
It is outstanding. It really is.
Yeah, the New York Film Festival judges gave us a 4+ rating out of a out of a rating scale of 1 to 4, with 4 being the highest. And one of the things they said that was so interesting was that the content of this video was on par with or even greater than what you would expect to find on a History Channel.
Oh, absolutely.
We thought that was a great compliment.
Right. I agree with that.
Now, before we jump into particulars and specifics, there's a lot of people that have some predetermined notions about how this country was formed, about who the founding fathers were, and if they see the information in this DVD, some people are going to say, wait a second, this doesn't jive with what I have in my mind. So, David, have you met any resistance to this? And if so, how do you approach someone that says, wait a second, I can't handle this information?
Well, yes, we have run into that consistently. Fortunately, most people are discerning enough to know that that not only have the academics since World War II been dumbed down greatly, but that history has been largely rewritten as well.
Right.
And so, one of our expert witnesses, Ian Taylor from London. He said, when I was a boy growing up in the London schools, in the London public schools, he said, we learned a lot about Sir Francis Bacon. He said, we learned a great deal about that man because he was so critical in British history. Mm-hmm. But he said, today, most students have never heard of him. And this is in London.
Oh,
this is Great Britain.
Well, I
so it's it's a fact of life that history has also been dumbed down, rewritten, and most people have no idea.
Yeah.
The other part of it as to how a person can verify what we're saying, we encourage them to start with the facts that we document and we provide our documentation for them, and then start on the historical journey themselves. Thank God today we have Google.
Yeah.
And so much information is available.
When I went to school, and my parents paid a lot of money to supposedly give me a good education, I learned that Christopher Columbus founded America. But there are other people who say Francis Bacon actually founded America. In fact, Thomas Jefferson, you point out in your video, considered him one of the three most influential men in history, yet I hardly learned anything but Francis Bacon's name in school.
Yeah,
I,
you know, that's a real tragedy, but, you know, it's a simple fact of life. For a variety of reasons, I'm sure, since World War II especially, our history books have really been stripped clean of credible information.
Yeah. What was the
ancient plan? It's to the point now where the majority of people have trouble, naming two or three of the founding fathers.
Right.
It's really sad.
Francis Bacon articulated some ancient plan. He actually thought America and Atlantis were one and the same. Can you elaborate on this ancient plan of his?
Well, the Freemasons and Rosicrucian secret societies are the key to understanding this. Even National Treasure movie, which we reference in this film, even that movie admits that Freemasons trace their roots back to Knights Templar, which puts you into 1100 AD. But from as far back as that point, the secret society's leadership believed that there was a continent that would be in one day found, and that a nation of unprecedented power and authority would arise out of that continent and lead the world into a global government, economy, and religion.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems
and
like
so Francis Bacon and Queen Elizabeth believed wholeheartedly that that nation, that ancient hope, so to speak, that had been foretold, had been foreseen by so many secret society leaders dating all the way back to 1100, that nation was to be America, which was, which they believed it was their responsibility to use the power of the crown, the English crown, to make sure that country would come out of the North American colonies.
Right. Now, the title of your movie, Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, also has a subtitle. It's called The New Atlantis. So let's go all the way back to the beginning. We know that Plato, in his book Critias, quoted a philosopher named Solon,
right,
who journeyed to Egypt and passed along information about Atlantis. Some people
now, we covered that in a video.
Right.
Yeah.
Some people think this was a real historical place. Others think it's allegorical. What are your thoughts on Atlantis?
My thoughts are it doesn't matter whether it's real or whether it's allegorical, because the people who've had their hands on Western government since Queen Elizabeth I believe in it. Most of them have. Most of them are secret society members, and they believe it's a true story. They believe that there was an historic New Atlantis, and see this nation, this New Atlantis nation, was what the people of that land were what they want worldwide one day, and that is that they were an enlightened people. They realized that the godhood was within them, and they were all gods.
Mm-hmm.
And they spoke telepathically. Their consciousness level was raised so high they actually had a physical third eye in the middle of their forehead. They were protected. They were protected by a constitution and a divided government. And this was the original Atlantis. It was destroyed, in a matter of a few hours by a huge volcano,
right,
volcano and earthquake, and it just disappeared under the sea.
Mm-hmm.
But America was to be that new Atlantis, and we certainly, we're not speaking clairvoyantly, and we don't have a physical third eye on our forehead, but we do have a separate government, a separated government, and
yeah,
a separation of powers, and we do have, we do have a constitution. And so, in that regard, we were set up as a new Atlantis.
Right.
And it was the job, as the as the seal on the seal symbol on the back of the $1 bill on the left hand side shows. It's the Eye of Horus of the Egyptian mysteries hovering over an unfinished pyramid. And down below, the words Novus Ordo Seclorum, you know, New Order of the Ages.
Right.
Or shorthanded, New World Order. That is the goal. That is the goal to which America has been committed since the date inscribed on the bottom row of that pyramid in Roman numerals, which is 1776.
Exactly.
So the fact of the matter is our government, from various administrations all the way through, from George Washington to George Bush, have been working to gradually move America and the world into this new global system. George Bush gave this video a great jump start.
Uh-huh.
By his comment in the in his second inaugural address, January 20th, 2005, toward the end of his speech, in which he was defending his invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan, he said, "When our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope which is meant to be fulfilled." Unquote. So what he was saying was that he is doing his part here by the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan to fulfill this ancient hope, this new order of the ages. Now, new order of the ages is identical to New World Order, but it predates it back to the king. It goes all the way back to Queen Elizabeth I and Sir Francis Bacon.
Okay, let me ask you this then, because I really need to know this. In light of the connections to Freemasonry and all of this with our founding fathers, people like Benjamin Franklin, have our founding fathers basically sold us out from the beginning? Did they sell out the principles of the American Revolution by this underlying agenda?
Well, I don't know if sellout's the right word. They just misinformed us as to what the original plan was.
Yeah.
You see, America as any nation, is really at least comprised of two different parts. We have the people and the values and the attitudes of the people at large. And if that's America, then in the beginning, America was largely a Christian nation.
Uh-huh.
America, started with a great, started as the pilgrims came here in 1620. And the Puritans followed right behind them. And so America, as of that date, was certainly Christian. The secret society people started coming in 1630, however.
Yeah.
But not much
then
longer,
it was a great awakening revival.
Right.
See, we never learned.
America from 1741 to 1796, approximately. And that produced a population at the time of the American Revolution that some demographers believe was as high as 50% of the population. You'll never see that high again.
Yeah.
I never learned about these other people that came after the pilgrims. Like, we always learned about the pilgrims and like, only one group of people came over in the beginning. But
Were coming over in waves.
Yeah.
And the secret society people, the Rosicrucians, landed in 1630. And see, that brings us to the second part. The first part is the first part of a nation is the individuals. Who are the people and what are their collective values and attitudes, or the predominant values and attitudes. The second part is the government,
mm-hmm.
and the government was founded according to pagan secret society symbols. Principles. No doubt.
And that should
That's why you have the pagan. That's why you have that awful pagan symbol from the Egyptian mysteries on the back of your dollar bill.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's why I encourage you to walk Federal Triangle, and look at the tympaniums up on top of the buildings, and look at the statues and the paintings.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one Christian.
There isn't.
No.
Among them, they're all pagan. They're either out of Egypt or Greece or Rome.
Yeah.
Imperial Rome.
And see, this information should send shudders through people, especially what George Bush just said a couple years ago. But since we're talking about Freemasonry, it's known as the craft, and some people trace it all the way back to Nimrod, the city of Babylon, the Tower of Babel.
Freemasonry traces itself back to Nimrod.
Right, right. So this also, there's a connection then to Gnosticism, and in your DVD, you say that the Gnostics really wanted a humanistic type of Jesus, which is portrayed in Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code with Mary Magdalene. So can you describe the difference between the humanistic Jesus of the Gnostics and what the original Pilgrims and Puritans thought of Jesus when he came to this country.
Well, the Puritans and Pilgrims held to the biblical concept, and the biblical teaching is that Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, was to be 100% God and 100% man. And, I mean, he was literally God who incarnated into Mary's womb.
Uh-huh.
Without, the Holy Spirit provided the sperm. Joseph was not his biological father. That was very important, because the Bible says that that Messiah must have a sinless nature, and the only way he can have a sinless nature is if the Holy Spirit, provided the sperm that impregnated the egg. Now that's what the Bible. That's in all throughout his life, he was 100% human, but at the same time, he was also 100% God. Now, the Gnostics taught that that the man Jesus grew up not having any idea that he was going to be Messiah, but at the moment he was baptized by John the Baptist at the River Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, cough came on me. A Christ consciousness spirit from the Logos fell upon him. And all of a sudden, he knew he was Messiah. From that moment on, he knew he was Messiah. And he acted and he taught as though he were Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
On the cross, just moments before he died, the Christ consciousness spirit left him. Now, this is separating Jesus the human from Jesus the God. Which the Bible says only Antichrist will do,
mm-hmm.
or the forces of Antichrist will do that. And but this Christ consciousness spirit, you see, is the same spirit that fell upon Buddha, many, many years before Jesus, fell upon Muhammad, and fell upon various world teachers throughout history. So this is part of what the Da Vinci Code is all about.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what I found really fascinating about this DVD, and something else I didn't know about, were these ley lines and these great circles, and how you talk about Boston, Philly, Baltimore, New York, and Washington D.C. all lie along this ley line that's aligned with Stonehenge. Tell everybody about that.
And also the 77th meridian, which some people call God's longitude.
Yeah, it's shocking, isn't it? To realize that Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Washington D.C. all line up, and we show a photograph from outer space,
uh-huh.
from a satellite taken at night. That was pretty spectacular, don't you think?
Yes.
Tell everybody what a ley line is.
Okay, a ley line is an occult concept. It's a secret society concept. They believe that the Earth reverberates with occult energy, an occult force, much like electricity.
Uh-huh.
It's not electricity, but much like it.
So it's like a
line
of force.
And it flows through the Earth on established routes.
Mm-hmm.
Which they call ley lines, L-E-Y space L-I-N-E-S, ley lines, and for eons, probably going back 5,000 years ago, these occultists had, they knew where these ley lines were supposed to be, and they built cities on them, they built palaces and mansions on them. Most, if not all, of the palaces of the nobility of Europe and Great Britain are built on ley lines.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are going to establish an America according to occult values, it would be important for you to establish your five original cities on a ley line. That is typical thinking of an occultist.
Yeah.
Now, the fact... That line, when you extend it out at the 52 degree azimuth, as it extends from Boston at that azimuth, going across the Atlantic Ocean, it runs squarely right through the middle of Stonehenge.
And you illustrate that perfectly.
Stonehenge was built by the Druids, most believe, mm-hmm. and they actually found human skeletons and skulls there. It was a place. It was not only a place where they would worship the sun mm-hmm. and the movement of the sun and the stars throughout the year, but they would hold human sacrifices there. So again, that's another, and it is on this ley line.
Right.
And so that is just another strong indicator of the occult agenda that our founding fathers had.
Right, and how much of a coincidence could it really be?
I was going to say, it was way too far beyond. Now, let me move on to Benjamin Franklin. We know that he was a member of the Hellfire Club.
Franklin was also a Rosicrucian and a Freemason.
Right, exactly. And one of the mottos of this Hellfire Club was, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." Now, if we go into the 20th century, we meet a guy named Aleister Crowley, described as the wickedest man in the world, the beast of the apocalypse. He was also, coincidentally, a Mason and a Rosicrucian, and he greatly influenced then L. Ron Hubbard, Timothy Leary, and so forth. So there's a progression all the way back from Dr. John Dee.
Don't forget the rock music band people, too.
Uh-huh.
The Beatles were heavily into Aleister Crowley.
They even put him on Sgt. Pepper on the cover.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, I mean, there's a strong influence in heavy metal rock especially. But it started with the Beatles, of Aleister Crowley and his values.
Well, describe how it started here, if we go all the way back to Dr. John Dee, up through Bacon, Franklin, into Crowley, that there's a line of succession here.
Yeah, absolutely. The values and attitudes that rocked America starting back in the late 60s and going through the Vietnam War in the 70s that really changed the fabric of America. And that and the rock bands of that era were heavily influenced by Aleister Crowley. And you see, the progression is that it's best understood when you understand what a New Age author said, and this is covered in a book by Constance Cummings called Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. And this New Age author said that you got closer and closer to the appearance of the Great One in the global government, economy, and religion, it would no longer be necessary to be so secretive to the occult values that you hold, because the peoples of the world at that time will have come to share those mm-hmm. values. So here you go from John Dee and Sir Francis Bacon in the 1580s, where they had to practice this occultism in great secret, through the Rosicrucian, secret society, Freemason secret society, because they would be persecuted and thrown in jail for practicing Satanism if they were discovered. And then you go all the way through the American Revolution, where our founding fathers, again, were very secretive about these.
Mm-hmm.
But now you come out to the 20th century, and as you progress, Aleister Crowley was pretty open.
Yeah, oh, he was.
Yeah.
And then you come to the Vietnam War era, and you find that the Beatles and some of these other rock groups are heavily influenced by Aleister Crowley, and it's becoming more open and more open and more open. And now this kind of Satanism is mainstream.
Yes,
it is.
Who do you think, public figure wise, leads this succession today?
George Bush and John Kerry.
Yeah.
They're both members of Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones, man, huh?
What about Clinton?
How about behind the scenes?
Well, Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar, therefore he was a member of the Rhodes Secret Society.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Very much the same as Skull and Bones, but not as politically powerful.
Right, right.
But very much in the same vein.
Well, how about behind the scenes?
You see, Skull and Bones is something that, people like Rush Limbaugh have tried to mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And try to convince people it's a harmless, good old boys club.
Yeah.
it is a black magic coven.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. If you study Skull and Bones, you will realize quickly that they that it is a member of a worldwide secret society movement called the Brotherhood of Death Society.
Yeah.
And each major nation is allowed only one Brotherhood of Death Society, on its soil. In America, that Brotherhood of Death Society is Skull and Bones at Yale University. In Germany, that Brotherhood of Death Society is the Tool Society. And the Tool Society is the society that trained Adolf Hitler.
Right, yeah, that's right.
So, you know, you come to, now we're talking seriousness here. Because the fact of the matter is, like it or not, believe it or not, Prescott Bush, George Bush, the senior, and George Bush, the current, have gone through the same rituals as did Hitler.
Right. Now, if I...
Which is why Union City Bank, under the leadership of Prescott Bush, in 1924 began to funnel millions of dollars to the Nazi Party.
Well, you're absolutely right. Now, let me change topics here a little bit and go back to maybe some arcane information in your DVD. When we talk about Francis Bacon, I think, and I hope I'm accurate in this, you were saying that he wasn't as influenced as much by the Gospels as he was by the Kabbalah, which is the Jewish version of these ancient mystery religions. So where does the Kabbalah fit in with Masonry and Rosicrucianism?
Kabbalah is the cornerstone of all of these systems. It is the cornerstone. Hmm. Without it, those systems wouldn't exist.
Wow.
Kabbalah was the Jewish mystical reinterpretation, basically, of the Old Testament. And the priests, the Jewish priests, picked this system up during the 70 years of judgment, you know, in Babylon, when God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come in and virtually destroy the Jewish state, took away all their, most of their noblemen and most of their priests, and brought them to Babylon for 70 years. And that during that 70 year period, these priests learned the Babylonian / Nimrod system of witchcraft. They Judaized it.
Uh-huh.
What they did is they took the Old Testament writings and they melded it in with the Nimrod Babylonian system, and they came out with the Kabbalah.
So, are you saying that Jewish beliefs are based upon, are grounded in witchcraft?
No.
Okay.
I'm saying that. The Jewish belief, the pure Jewish belief as reflected from Genesis to Malachi is, you know, it's the true revelation of God.
Uh-huh.
But these occult priests, Jewish priests, took the Babylonian witchcraft
and corrupted
it. And they mixed, you know, and they reinterpreted the Old Testament beliefs and doctrines.
Uh-huh.
They reinterpreted it in light of the Kabbalah.
So it's been corrupted then?
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. It's been very corrupted.
Very interesting.
It became the most important document, or the most important cornerstone of belief in the occult world. And you've got, you know, Aleister Crowley revered the Kabbalah. So did Sir Francis Bacon. So did mm-hmm. Queen Elizabeth. So did John Dee, so did Adolf Hitler. I find it to be one of the greatest ironies of history that Hitler, who was one of the greatest persecutors and killers of Jews, had his belief system anchored in the Kabbalah.
An irony there, huh?
There's also some controversy as to the secret that the Freemasons have been guarding for thousands of years. What is the secret?
The secret is that they're going to overthrow all governments of the world. And they're going to have a global dictatorship, global economy, and a global religion.
I can see why they'd want to keep
everybody
that secret.
Everybody will lose their freedoms.
Yeah.
Everybody will lose their country.
Yeah.
What about this this wisdom about eternal life? Is that part of that whole thing?
Yeah, that's part of the Kabbalah. They believe that eternal life is gained by man's works.
Uh-huh.
Not by a free gospel like the Bible teaches, but by works, what you do, and those works are centered into the rituals.
Uh-huh.
And you see, in this new global government, once it's all set up, they plan on initiating everybody in the world into the same kind of an initiation system that they had privately gone through in in these secret societies.
Right. Well, before we close out today, let everybody once again know the name of this DVD, how it can be obtained. It's also available on the Wing TV homepage. But just give everybody a brief overview, the title and everything.
All right, it's called Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, Volume 1, The New Atlantis. And you can also buy it at arfilms.org.
Okay.
Amazon.com has it, and pretty soon we'll be in Borders and Nobles, that and those kind of places.
Very good, very good. Now I want to throw what I think is one of the most important statements made in this film, and I want your thoughts on it. You and Christian, being the filmmakers, there's a statement that says the same powers in the days of Ben Franklin are still working today. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. President Bush, in his statement that he made in his inaugural address, where he tied his foreign policy into the ancient or the new order of the ages, that line runs from George Bush through the founding fathers through Francis Bacon. And you see, Ben Franklin's job, and he was the key point man.
He was.
In the American Revolution to make sure that Bacon and Queen Elizabeth's plan was exactly fulfilled in the American colonies.
Mm-hmm.
That the exact nation they wanted, they foresaw, was going to be born. And they did do exactly what Bacon and Elizabeth foresaw. Since then, the plan for America to lead the world into this global system, which was well laid out beyond 1776, that has been followed ever since. And, every current generation of these globalist leaders fine tunes the program a bit, but they are on the same page. They're still proceeding exactly to where John D., Queen Elizabeth, and Ben Franklin foresaw. And that is the establishing of that global government, economy, and religion.
At that point, the
unfinished pyramid on the back of your dollar bill will be capped. It will no longer be finished. It will no longer be unfinished.
Right, right.
Your DVD lays out in very stark terms, in no uncertain terms, what's been going on. And it tends to make a person feel helpless, as if there's nothing we can do to stop this or reverse it or slow it down. Is there anything that can be done?
Well, the one thing that these leaders, do fear is an aroused public. I mean, they would tremble in their boots if 50 million Americans suddenly got aroused and understood what was going on, and that's the only way we can put a stop to it.
That's very well said. And lastly, and I don't know if we talked to Christian about this on the radio or if it was off after the interview was over, but he mentioned something about there was a concerted effort the late part of the 19th century into the early 20th century, a concerted effort to change American history, the history that had been recorded, and reshape it into a different history. What are your thoughts on that?
That has been done. That's why you don't, and you've never heard of Ben Franklin associated with the Hellfire Club.
Yeah,
you've never heard in American history books of Benjamin being a Rosicrucian or a Freemason, or that Sir Francis Bacon is unknown today. That has been done because you see. The old maxim that those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a corollary to that, and that is that it is easier to lead people into a repeat of what has been done in history if they don't know what has been done in history.
Right, and while they've been pushing forward this agenda for so long, they also work simultaneously to desensitize people so they don't become aroused, and they use television and Hollywood and the media and so forth to do that.
Absolutely, just like in the days of the crumbling Roman Empire, the government sponsored the races and they sponsored the games and they sponsored the theater and tried to keep people's minds off of what was happening politically. Same thing is happening today.
Right. The name of the DVD is Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, Volume 1.
Outstanding.
the new Atlantis. We are joined today by David Bay. And David, let everybody know what your upcoming project is.
It's called Riddles and Stone, The Secret Architecture of Washington, D.C. And there are some real secrets in that, especially in the Federal Triangle, L'Enfant Triangle. Mm-hmm. It's just literally covered over with occult pagan symbols.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there are in the street designs. There's a pentagram. There are several triangles there, which are very important. There are symbols of Baal, symbols of Sibel, the goddess. Symbols everywhere that mm-hmm. absolutely has a real meaning. And then, of course, we are going to be talking about the architectural secret of Washington, D.C., and once you understand it, it'll absolutely blow you away. But it will verify what the Baconian, Rosicrucian scholar Peter Dawkins said when he said that the ultimate goal of Sir Francis Bacon's plan is the appearance of a Masonic Messiah.
Oh, very
and interesting. And that is shown, that goal is shown in Washington, D.C. street layout. Once you see it, and once you understand what you're looking at, it will blow you away.
Oh, David, we can't wait. We're most certainly going to have you back in the show when your new DVD comes out. Until then, thank you very much for coming
thank
on
you.
Today.
Very much, David. It was excellent, really.
Very, very good.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, too. We'll be back again on Monday. We're going to talk about what's going on in the Middle East. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
Have a great weekend, everyone.